Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now. But something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hello there to my driven women. How are you? If you're anything like me, you are so ready for this shit show of a year, 2020 that is, to be over. And we've got just a few days left based on when this podcast is being recorded and released, but it's not too late for you to send me your review of the podcast. Let me know what you like. Let me know what you hate. Let me know what you want to hear more of and what you can't get enough of. I promise to read it on an upcoming episode, like this one from VT Fam is the screen name. But I found out it's actually been written by someone I know in one of the online communities I'm a member of. None other than Heather Frechette Crowley, who is the founder and CEO of Root Marketing. That's R-O-O-T, like the roots of a tree. She can be found on Instagram at root_mktg. Heather and I both share a love of marketing, online business, and especially coffee. Here's what she has to say about the Driven Woman podcast. Digestible, actionable, and sassy. Love this podcast. Not only does it give me another way of looking at things, i.e. my life, but it's presented in a straightforward manner with a side of sass. Diane goes beyond acknowledging and provides real-life scenarios I can apply in my day-to-day. Well, thank you, Heather. That is exactly what I aim to do. And for those of you that haven't written yet, you're running out of time for 2020. It may be the only good thing you get done all year. Now, today's episode is a solo. You've noticed, probably, or maybe not, that I'm alternating a solo with an interview, a solo with an interview. You'll have to let me know how you like that. And today, I decided to talk about something that is honestly near and dear to my heart, because every woman I know and every woman I coach struggles with it. What am I referring to? None other than a two-letter word that is so difficult for most women. The word no. You know it's a complete sentence, right? So why do we have so much trouble with it? Well, we're about to dig in and find out more. I hope you enjoy this episode. Be sure to let me know. As promised, we are going to talk about the word no today. Listen, I don't know about you, but when I meet a woman who has good boundaries, bears no resemblance to a people pleaser, and carefully considers her own needs before agreeing to take any responsibility for someone else's, time just seems to stand still. And I'm admittedly in a bit of shock as well as admiration. Now, to be clear, I am not talking about a woman who's a genuine bitch, who actually doesn't give two shits about anyone but herself. That is a totally different story. And I don't mean a Disney villainess either. I'm talking about a woman who is assertive and doesn't have a codependent bone in her body. She does what she wants and doesn't do what others want her to do. She may be just as helpful, kind, generous, and nurturing as other femmes, but this chick, she does it because it pleases her and not because she's a people pleaser. Part of the problem for many women with this little word, no, is that something like 42% of us are obligers. This is according to author and happiness researcher Gretchen Rubin in her book I often refer to, The Four Tendencies. You see, obligers do what is expected of them most of the time, but they often let themselves down by not doing what they expect of themselves. I guess you could call this people-pleasing behavior, but it's really just the underlying tendency to leverage others' expectations of us to motivate us to get things done. Let's face it, we're all procrastinators. Please tell me it's not just me. I think we're all procrastinators, at least some of the time. But when you're an obliger, the prospect of disappointing someone who's counting on you is enough to propel you into action, no matter how tired, crampy, overscheduled, and frankly overwhelmed you are. Now, some of us are also legitimate people pleasers and take this whole do unto others shit to an entirely new level, but we'll come back to them in a minute. You know, I believe that our culture programs women to be more concerned about the needs, wishes, wants, preferences, and priorities of others than we are about our own. Popular media, from television shows and Netflix series, recording artists, Instagram influencers, reality show stars, and Hollywood films all reinforce the message that females are the loving, sacrificial, supportive gender who happily put others ahead of themselves, right? I mean, we just let others merge into traffic in front of us, even if we have to hit the brakes to make room. Now, we tip too much for lousy service and a shitty attitude if we happen to know the server is a single mom with 17 kids and no baby daddy. We don't speak up and ask for a raise or throw our hat in the ring to be promoted, and we even have been known to gush over that itsy-bitsy friendship ring that Mr. Wonderful finally forked over on Valentine's Day after just 5 years of dating. Needless to say, all of this, oh no, you take the last piece, I need to go on a diet anyway, nonsense, accumulates over time. At first, we don't notice, and later on, we might even take pride in our unselfish ways, but eventually, we hit our limit. If you're not there yet, it's coming. And when that happens, all bets are off on what happens next. I've heard of women marching into their office, tendering their resignation and fleeing the building without their box of stuff after 20 years of quote-unquote loyal service, leaving their colleagues shaking their heads and speculating, who's going to replace her on the Employee of the Year wall? Others give their husband his walking papers or simply disappear without a trace, leaving the divorce papers on the dining room table. Some take a lover, others join a gym. Many just start boycotting the unpaid labor of ironing and meal making. And I guess you wouldn't expect your email, your texts, or your voice messages to be returned until she's good and ready either. The doormat has pulled itself off the porch and has officially left the building. Now, maybe we can blame this drastic change and the complacency that came before it on female biology. This is something I study a lot, and one of the fascinating books that I've come across and recommend highly is The Female Brain by neuropsychiatrist Lou Anne Brizendine. She would be a dream interview, so if any of you have connections, DM me, please. Anyway, Dr. Brizendine weaves a compelling tale of what a woman goes through from puberty through menopause and beyond, based on what's going on under the hood, you know, her brain. Most of us think our monthly periods are an inconvenience, a discomfort, a welcome or unwelcome sign that we're not pregnant, and one of the most uniquely female experiences. But what most of us don't know about puberty is that it ushers us into several decades of brainwashing, courtesy of our very own hormones and neurotransmitters. Now, while this might sound exaggerated, let me explain. You see, from our first menstrual period to our last, we experience monthly fluctuations in hormones. Estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Each of them serves a unique purpose, and they do a very carefully choreographed dance month after month, rising and falling, sinking and soaring, for about 40 years or so, give or take. But once we begin bleeding and are quite literally under the influence of these hormones and their effects on our body, mind, and brain, we are just a little less capable of thinking for ourselves and of ourselves. The primary culprit is estrogen. There's a reason it's been named the tend and befriend hormone, quote unquote. You see, estrogen quite literally influences our thinking, our emotions, and our desires, such that we get considerable satisfaction from taking care of others and catering to their needs. Now, while it is entirely appropriate when the others are our children, and to a lesser extent, our spouse or partner, when it comes to coworkers, neighbors, friends, extended family, pets, stray animals, and total strangers who happen to cross our path, I think it becomes a problem. With that many people to take care of, a woman's needs tend to get lost or forgotten in the shuffle. And many women start to resent the burden of others' expectations by the time they reach their 40s and beyond. By then, they've been at it for like 20, 25 years already. And at this age and stage, they're typically juggling a husband or partner, two or more school-aged to teenaged kids, a job or a business or both, possibly aging parents, a pet or two, and many other relationships as well. Now, culture also plays a role, with more traditional cultures placing heavy responsibilities on women that men simply don't share. Religion? Religion adds another level of caretaking expectations and no, you go first level of responsibilities. No wonder some women just opt out and run away. You know, some women try to ease their way into empowerment after they begin to figure these things out. They don't want to rock the boat or make waves. This typically doesn't last long because everyone around her has become accustomed to being taken care of by her. They might not notice that she's attempting to grow a pair if she's coy about it. In my experience, most of us have to come marching in with either stilettos or combat boots to make our newly awakened selves known. Friendships can end. Adult children living at home well into their 20s and 30s without contributing to the household or working towards independence can suddenly find themselves booted out without notice. And yes, marriages can rupture. But hey, it's not always drama and trauma. These are the extreme cases. What's more common is that women experience an awakening of their long-lost hopes and dreams, combined with a fresh sense of urgency about pursuing them. This can and often is the start of the most exciting, productive, and fulfilling stage of their entire life. Women get fit and healthy for the first time, leave toxic workplaces to start a business of their own, travel alone, get a tattoo, embrace their spirituality, and find out who they really are and what they really, really want. But it all begins with getting intimately acquainted with the word no and the willingness to embrace the belief that it's actually acceptable to utter it. You see, saying no to anything that doesn't serve us anymore is a must. No to the things we resent. No to the relationships that cause us pain. No to doing things out of a sense of habit, duty, or obligation. No is not unkind, nor selfish, nor rude, in spite of what you've heard. No is a complete sentence. And with practice, you can not only get better at it, you might even come to enjoy it. No is not a bad word, even if we've been taught to think it is. And if you've been listening to The Driven Woman for more than an episode or two, you've probably heard me say, all behavior is habit forming. It is. If you're in the habit of saying yes when you feel like saying no, or saying nothing, which is then perceived as a yes, or saying anything under your breath, anything less than a clear and unequivocal no, you're going to keep on doing what you've been doing until someone, namely you, initiates a change. Many of the women I coach are entrepreneurs, and lots of them did not start working for themselves until later in life. Well, this is very exciting, and I love empowering women to take their professional and financial futures into their own hands at any age and stage. Almost all of them need some work in the no department. Saying yes as an employee, a wife, a mother, a sister, a daughter, a neighbor, a friend, becomes yes as an entrepreneur automatically. And while we must say yes to many things as we begin the path of self-employment, such as yes to longer hours, yes to uncertainty, and yes to fear on a daily basis, we need to be careful not to get too attached to the habit of yes to things like discounting our fees, scope creep, and unlimited access to brain picking from clients and colleagues alike. Without a healthy balance between yeses and nos in our business, it not only won't be profitable, we may be too burned out to notice or care. So does the prospect of saying no a lot more sound both appealing and scary as fuck? I get it. You know, believe it or not, I was not always a boundaries badass. I have been taken advantage of. I have said yes when no was burning a hole in the back of my throat, and I have done too many things out of fear of guilt, out of habit, and out of obligation than I care to admit. But it's never too late to learn how to stand up, speak up, and draw a line in the sand. You don't have to go into hiding, move to Tibet, take yourself off of social media, or change your phone number. But you do need to start taking action, not just thinking you should. Don't start with the situation or the relationship where the stakes are highest, the history longest, or the fear the greatest. Something I recommend to my clients who want to get better at this no business is to identify one scenario that they encounter regularly and where they tend to give more than they want to. It could be a single client that always gets more out of you than they pay for, or the well-resourced person you barely know who somehow talked their way into the friends and family discount for your services indefinitely. Ask yourself, are you willing to lose their business for the sake of your own sanity, not to mention your self-respect? Then remind yourself that even if that is the worst case scenario, your mind is red light flashing before you, it's actually highly unlikely. If the thought of a face-to-face conversation about boundaries has you peeing your panties, there's nothing wrong with email. You got to start somewhere. So sit down with a pen and paper or a blanking cursor if you're more of a digital gal, and identify that one area in your business or personal life where you are habitually saying yes by default and want to stop. It could be the last minute work that you get from clients. Let's say, for example, you have a service-based business with a 1 week turnaround time, but a handful of clients keep sending you rush jobs, which force you to give up your free time or work after hours. Declare your line in the sand, first to yourself, practice it in front of the mirror if you need to really feel it, and then in writing. Compose an email to all of your clients, not just the ones who push the limit. No one likes feeling singled out. Inform them all that as of January 1st, or whatever date you choose, there will be a late fee of X amount or X percentage for all work submitted after the deadline. You should expect some pushback. You should expect some testing. You should actually expect the worst offenders to turn their work in late as always, thinking you didn't mean them after all. This isn't magic, folks. And remember, it's you we're changing, not other people. They can keep on being just as selfish, just as oblivious, and just as entitled as ever. You don't have to go along. Now, you might be surprised to find that your always late customers can and do change, or they might leave you and you won't miss them. They might even go off in a huff and come crawling back later because your competitors have learned the value of saying no too. But what I can tell you, and I can almost promise, which is about as close to a guarantee as it comes, you will not experience regret. You won't regret putting your foot down. In fact, if you experience any regret at all, it will merely be that you wished you'd done it sooner. That's all for this week, ladies. I'll see you next time. Hey, I hope you're enjoying listening to the Driven Woman podcast and looking forward to each new episode every Tuesday. Are you ready to take our relationship to the next level? Visit my website at DianeWingardCoaching.com. I have a weekly blog. There's a quiz you can take to find out what your ADHD signature strength is, and some other freebies like the 6 Steps to ADHD Mastery or the Driven Woman Roadmap Fast Track to Success. And if you're ready to get serious about going from spinning to winning and taking yourself from driven but distracted to focused, fired up, and flame retardant, you should definitely sign up for a free consultation. We'll spend 30 minutes talking about where you are, where you want to be, and whatever's getting in the way. I won't try to sell you if you're not right for coaching and I'm not the right one for you. But if you are, this might be the best way to make 2021 your best year ever. Want to hear from someone who's actually worked with me? Have a listen to my client, Rachel.
I didn't have you helping me along the way to understand a lot of this stuff. The meds would have been a waste for me, a complete and total waste. I would have had a little bit more energy maybe, but still the habits, whatever. There's no magic pill. It's always going to be something I'm going to have to work on. And I am understanding that and being okay with that and just kind of working through that and thinking and being intentional and stopping myself and doing all of the things for the first time in my life. I'm going to tell you right now, the meds have allowed me to slow stuff down enough that I've never been this effective at anything cognitive ever in my life. But I've also never had it explained to me by somebody who understands what's going on in my head either.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.